was Les Classelles, a French-Canadian group, singing in French, obviously. At least I assume that was in French. I took 2 years of French when I was in school, when I was in junior high and high school. Took a couple years of French, but I retained nothing. I know I can recognize a French word if I see it written. There's an 8 out of 10 chance that if I see a French word written, I can guess that it's French. But I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't know anything else. I didn't retain anything. No, one thing I did retain is that I know in France, when they call a cat, instead of saying, here, kitty, 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 they say, menu, 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 menu. So the only thing I know is that in France, they call cats by saying menu, menu, menu. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what that actually translates to, if anything. But I know that Les Classelles there, that French-Canadian group, I know they weren't saying menu, menu, menu. But they were playing their own version of Exodus. You know, obviously I close every episode with Pat Boone's version, a more soundtracky, grandiose version. But that one was grandiose in its own way, for sure. That Les Classelles version, that guitar tone was incredible. It's a guitar tone that you typically hear in more rocking music. Kind of, you'll hear rockabilly and kind of garage rock with that sort of guitar tone, but you very rarely hear those kinds of notes played with that guitar tone. And it's a good way for me to be it's pretty much a guarantee that I will love something if they play kind of, you know, melancholy sort of minor key notes with a guitar tone like that, because it's a rare combination. Everybody wants to play some sort of like rocking upbeat thing, but I don't even know how to classify those notes, the Exodus theme notes. They were speaking a universal language, you know, French, whatever they were saying. I don't even know if they were singing the same lyrics that Pat Boone sings. But either way, I think they were singing something universal. And I like the idea of this being some sort of weird mirror episode where I start with the song that I normally close it with, but it's done in French with this just incredible guitar tone carrying the melody instead of piano. And I have to thank Jonathan from French Canada himself, from Quebec. He sent me that song. He made me aware of it. So a French-Canadian version of Exodus that I heard from a French-Canadian citizen. That's very cool to me. Hail Jonathan and Verglas. I met them in San Francisco some years back. Very thankful that he sent me that. Became an instant favorite, and a part of me wishes I could just open every episode with that song from now on. Open every episode with the French-Canadian version of Exodus and close every episode with the American Pat Boone version of Exodus, but I won't do that. I'll keep it special because it's a special day. It's winter solstice, and it's also going to be sort of a Christmas episode, a winter solstice Christmas episode on our hands here. We'll see how much Christmas music I actually play. I think all of the music I play is winter music, whether it's bright and cheery or not. What I like about this era of music, and in particular the songs that I play on this show, is I think they all kind of fit winter very well, and not necessarily in a dark and gloomy way. I think even the more upbeat songs capture the beauty of winter quite nicely. I'm going to keep going on this French theme, though. While that song was French-Canadian, this song is just straight-up French. And it's called Menu, Menu, Menu. No, not really, but close. It's actually close. It's called Hippie, Hippie, Hurrah, and it's by Jacques Dutronc. And interesting, too, because that last song, Les Classelles, that was suggested to me by someone, and so was this song. A lot of the songs I play on this show are just ones that I found through my own digging. But that last song was sent to me, and then this one was played for me by my friend Ben. I grew up with Ben. He went to my elementary school, and then we became friends in high school. He was a year younger than me, kind of a little brother. I don't mean that in a condescending way, although there were times where I definitely treated Ben kind of like shit, because kind of in a little brother way. But I appreciate the guy, and one time he came down and visited me, and we were listening to music, drinking a bunch of whiskey, playing that whole game of, like, let me play you this song. And then he's like, let me play you this song. And it's kind of like one of those conversations where like you're just waiting until it's your chance to speak again and you're not really listening to the other person, which is sort of the reason why I created this show. Well, Ben actually plays into that too, but one of the reasons I created this show is I was sick of just like holding people hostage with songs. You know, if I was hanging out with somebody, especially if we were drinking and just hanging around a living room, I would just be like, I gotta play you this. And sometimes they would be like, well, I got something you gotta hear. And it was this game, almost like this game of Battleship. And, you know, playing that game and then like this weird, like, living room DJ game, combined with like sending people songs online, you know, I would send friends, email them songs or send them messages with like a certain link to a song, or God forbid, like post them on social media, expecting that people are going to be like, oh, I'm going to click on this. I'm going to listen to this thing. I'm going to stop listening to whatever I'm listening to or stop watching whatever I'm watching and listen to this song that some guy I know posted. That's kind of the worst form of that. But it wasn't that I really wanted to start a podcast a little over 5 years ago. It wasn't that I was just like, I really want to start a podcast. The term I used originally was pseudo radio, and it was essentially just to give me an excuse to play things without holding anybody hostage or without just throwing it out into the void. It was a meaningful way to kind of collect a certain style of songs. Of course, I listened to a lot more music than this, other different styles. Whenever I lose my ability to speak, that's a sign that I'm just saying the wrong thing. That's God's way of just grabbing your tongue and being like, just hurry up and play the fucking song, kid. Kid. It'd be weird if God called you, like, old man. If he did, God would call you kid, right? He'd be like, come on, kid. But it'd be weird if God was like, listen, old man. Listen, daddy. If God called you daddy. It sounds like a name of a country song. If God called you daddy. But anyway, Ben and I remember we were going back and forth playing each other's songs, and I was like just in a bad mood or something, and I didn't want to hear what he wanted to play. I was just like, I don't want to hear it. It's French. I don't want to hear it. And he's like, no, you got to listen to this. And so he played me Jacques Dutronc, Hippie Hippie Hurrah, and I loved it. It's from 1968, so it has three things against it. It's from 1968, which is kind of a bad period for me as far as this music goes. I don't typically like things from that year or anything post-1964, really. So 1968, it's French. I typically don't like French things. And third, it's just not in a style. I don't know what to call this style of pop music, but it's not doo-wop. It's not even anything close to that. So it's got three things against it, yet I loved it. When he played it for me, I was like, damn, you win. You win this game of Battleship, brother. But along with, you know, turning me on to this song, Ben also many years ago interviewed me for a project. He recorded this interview, and it was just a project he was working on. He was trying to get some source material together. And I remember on that show, or it wasn't a show, on that interview, he said, you need to start the Eric Stonefelt show, man. And I was like, what the fuck would that be? What would that be? I was imagining almost like a talk show, like something you would see on TV, like a very low-budget version of Jay Leno or David Letterman or something. But he sort of planted the seed for doing this kind of show, so I'm thankful for that. So Jacques Dutronc, I guess he was an actor as well as a well-known pop musician in France in the 1960s. I'm not familiar with him aside from this. I know he had other music. I've listened to some things here and there, but I know very little about him, just that he was a very big celebrity in his day, maybe still is. If I ever go to France or if I ever meet a French person, I'm going to say Jacques Dutronc.
Je suis Pi, c'est ma nouvelle philosophie. Hippie, hip, hip, hurrah, vive le Mukutra.
While this episode may be seeming pretty international so far, with a French-Canadian group followed by a Frenchman singing that last song, don't make any mistake, we are not going to be playing anything from England. This show is going to be strictly Anglophobic, thank God. And we're going to bring some Americans into the ring now. I'm going to introduce to you two very well-known Americans who have made their rounds on this show before, and that's the Everly Brothers. And this show has the distinction of, I guess just the only way to put it is I played an Everly Brothers block on one of the earliest episodes of this show, and that same day Phil Everly died. A little synchronistic darkness or lightness. I mean, I don't necessarily see that as a dark thing. Like, I willed that to happen. And I know back when that happened, I talked about it. And I also referenced a story when at work at one point, at a job I had, my office mates and I had a Whitney Houston sort of party. It was I don't remember if it was a Friday or what day of the week, but we decided just to blast Whitney Houston all day that day. And then that night, Whitney Houston died. So it was sort of like that, but with Phil Everly. But we're going to be bringing it back around. I think they're both dead now, so I can't kill the Everly Brothers this time. I can't kill either one of them. But I can bring them back to life through their music. And this first song is going to kind of start the Christmas vibe, maybe a little bit. It's a song from a Coke commercial, which is awesome. The idea of the Everly Brothers singing a little Coke ditty, a little commercial song. It's a lot better than McDonald's I'm Loving It, but it's still actually pretty close to that. And it's just a song from a Coke commercial, a Coca-Cola commercial. And Christmas is for some reason associated with Coke, or rather, the opposite, actually. Coke is for some reason associated with Christmas. They'll release cans and bottles this time of year with Santa holding a bottle of Coca-Cola. What did Santa do before Coca-Cola was even a thing? What did he drink? Coca-Cola? I like the idea, though, more of Christmas being associated with Coke. Like, Coke is the institution, and Christmas is just associated with that. But yeah, so we're going to start out with a little Coke commercial ditty by the Everly Brothers, and then that's going to be followed up with their classic song, Poor Jenny. Poor Jenny, one of my absolute favorite Everly Brothers songs. So here are the Everlys. And make sure you go get yourself a can of Coke or a bottle of Coke. Get a bottle. You know, get yourself a bottle. If you get yourself a can, make sure that you have one of those Coca-Cola glasses to pour it into. Did I mention Coca-Cola is our new sponsor? Sponsors everybody.
It's summer swinging with the Everly Brothers.
Sitting in my lifeguard seat, out here in the sun and heat, watching that the little girls don't drown. Radios are everywhere, the only song that I can hear is that little old song that's going around, saying things be better with Coca-Cola, things be better with Coke. Someone get a Coke for me, baby. Can't you see how appreciative I would be? 'Cause the fun goes better and the sun goes better, everyone goes better with Coke. The real life one puts extra fun in everything you do. Coke has a taste you never get tired of, Coke after Coke. Sitting with my whistle on, listening to that Christmas song, Coca-Cola is really on my mind. Things get better with Coca-Cola, things get better with Coke. The heat goes better and the beat goes better, Coca-Cola makes things more fun. But baby, what gets me is why don't you bring me some? Don't you leave your stand, I'm told, won't you bring me something cold? Things get better with Coca-Cola, things get better with Coke.
It ended in a heck of a fight. When someone hit my Jenny, she went out like a light. Oh, Jenny. And then some joker went and called the cops on the phone. So everybody scattered out for places unknown. I couldn't carry Jenny, so I left her alone. Oh, Jenny. Well, Jenny had her picture in the paper this morning. She made it with a bang. She wasn't looking too well. Poor Jenny. Her eye was black, her face was red, her hair was a fright. She looked as though she'd been crying half of the night. I told her I was sorry, she said get out of sight. Poor Jenny. It seems a shame that Jenny had to throw me that green bit. Happen on our very birthday. Jenny has a brother and he's out on my trail. Her daddy wants to ride me out of town on the rail. I hope I'll be around when Jenny gets out of jail. Oh, Jenny.
Yeah, that song is a drug. Poor Jenny is a drug of a song, hard not to get an adrenaline spike. It's like taking speed or just an injection of caffeine. I was listening to that song, actually a few days ago, about a week ago, I got a triple CD set of Everly Brothers' quote-unquote greatest hits at the used CD store, the used bookstore that sells used CDs, rather. There are no used CD stores left around. But I got it for $3, so a dollar a CD. And the great thing about getting a triple CD set by a group like the Everly Brothers is that you're going to hear a lot of songs that otherwise wouldn't be on a single CD greatest hits. I also got a Roy Orbison triple CD. the same place a while back, and it's the same exact thing. Because, you know, if you get a Roy Orbison Greatest Hits CD, chances are it's going to just have the same old songs that you've heard. But a triple CD is going to have a little variation. But yeah, Poor Jenny is a drug of a song, and it's more of a drug than Coke. It's more of a drug than Coca-Cola and Coke, both kinds of Coke. But we're going to keep this Everly Brothers thing going into a full block, and I'm going to play one more song by them. And what's funny about that song, Poor Jenny, though, is he talks about how it's her, not just their first date, but it's the first party she's ever been to, and she gets knocked out cold. But he finds out she's the leader of a teenage gang afterwards. He sees her picture in the paper. So it's really weird to me that a girl who is the leader of a teenage gang has never been to a party before. It's her very first party, yet she's in a gang. That's my kind of girl, a girl who doesn't go to parties but runs a gang. And she gets knocked out cold. But they don't say what kind of party it was. It very well could have been a Christmas party. And the Everly Brothers actually have a song that, if that was a Christmas party where she got knocked out cold, they have a song that fits that very well. And that's Christmas Eve Can Kill You. One of my favorite song titles of all time, Everly Brothers' Christmas Eve Can Kill You. And I've definitely played this song before, probably on one of the early episodes. I don't know if I played it on the episode that killed Phil Everly. That would be pretty funny if I played Christmas Eve Can Kill You on the episode that killed Phil Everly. Christmas Eve Can Kill Phil Everly. I say that with respect, though. I'm not disparaging the man in death. I'm just finding a little humor in life. Finding humor in life through joking about death. That's one of the privileges we have as living people. You have to find some sort of humor in even the darkest spaces. Not that death has to be dark, although I suppose it is. But anyway, long story short, Christmas Eve Can Kill You. And it's not a joke song. You would think this would be like one of those jokey songs. There are so many jokey Christmas songs, even just like I Caught Mama Kissing Santa Claus. That's one of the most well-known ones. I would think that this would be one of those types of songs, like some sort of jokey, upbeat, like Christmas Eve Can Kill You because you fell off the roof when you're putting, when you're putting lights on the house, or just one of those sort of things, or the idea of like Santa getting stuck in the chimney. That's what I would expect out of this song, but it's actually a very somber, deeper song, and it's later Everly Brothers. It's not like from their it's not from their best period, you know, when they were doing Poor Jenny, when they were making drug songs, songs that have the effect of drugs, but it is a drug of its own making. Christmas Eve Can Kill You. It's a little more country. Christmas Eve Can Kill You, finishing off this Everly Brothers block. Merry Christmas, even if you're even if you don't make it through, even if you don't get to see Christmas Day because Christmas Eve kills you. Merry Christmas.
Keeps me on my feet. I been walking on the line. A car goes running by, the man don't even turn his head. Guess he's busy being Santa Claus tonight. The saddest part of all is knowing if I switched with him, I'd leave him stumbling, ragged by the road. I'd ride that highway to the arms of my sweet family and forget about the stranger in the cold. And Christmas Eve can kill you when you're trying to hitch a ride to anywhere. And as I walk, I'm singing to myself, oh, silent night, hoping I can save both of our souls. Oh, God, forgive the man who drives right by the other man. Take pity on the stranger in the cold. Christmas Eve can kill you when you're trying to hitch a ride to anywhere.
Yeah, speaking of Christmas, I'm actually wearing a Santa hat right now, believe it or not. And you probably do believe it because I'm sure I sound like a guy who's wearing a Santa hat. I'm sure you could hear it in my voice, even though I hadn't said it yet. And I meant to say it earlier, I was really excited to talk about it. Obviously, a guy who's recording a podcast wearing a Santa hat is just desperate to talk about it, even though you can't see it. But it did sort of create a dilemma that I hadn't dealt with before, and I wasn't sure whether to put my headphones on over or under the Santa hat, and I decided to put them over it. I think some Santa hats would be too bulky, or you wouldn't really be able to fit the headphones over it, but fortunately I was able to, and that means I can take my headphones on and off without having to remove the Santa hat, because who wants to do that? I can look like one of those DJs who has his headphones on one ear or around his neck while he's looking down real serious, doing the mix. I can look like that while keeping my Santa hat on. I'm sure right now at this very moment there is a DJ, at least 100 DJs for that matter, wearing a Santa hat. And I bet every single one of those guys just instinctively knew whether to put his headphones, over or under his Santa hat. I bet he just knew, because, you know, if you're a DJ, you're going on pure instinct. And speaking of instinct, it is the winter solstice, but you didn't need me to tell you that, because that pagan sensibility inside of you just knew. You could just feel winter coming on, and you knew today was the shortest day of the year, the longest night of the year. That's sort of a half-empty, half-full thing, like, is it a shortest day of the year or the longest night of the year? I'm a longest night kind of guy. But we have a song that's perfect for the solstice. It's by Tommy Winters and the Storms, the human manifestation of the solstice itself, Tommy Winters and the Storms. And the song is called I Reached for a Star. And all of this just kind of fits in with the down-home paganism that I preach, because I think people, you know, on days like this, they want to tap into their ancient roots, and they're into this very stylized version of paganism, where they wear their robes, they get a look down, they want everything to kind of be ancient, they want everything to be archaic and European tribal, which is all, I'm cool with all that stuff, I really am, but at the same time, I think there's something to be said for embracing the time in which you are in, and the paganism that lives within that. And I originally started using the phrase down-home paganism at my old house, where I would listen to a lot of country, I would listen to a lot of music from this era, just the sort of music I play on school nights. And I was like, this music is so pagan. You know, listening to the Everly Brothers earlier today, driving around listening to Poor Jenny. You know, things like that. I'm just like, this just feels right. This feels natural. And if it feels natural while also tapping into some weird, intangible feeling of something greater, that's fucking paganism. That's true paganism. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, doing some old ritual that you think your ancestors did. Your ancestors, your brothers and ancestors. Your ancestors. It doesn't matter if you think you're doing the same thing they did. Just do what feels natural to you, what taps into something for you. And Tommy Winters and the Storms here obviously are tapping into something. The song is called I Reached for a Star. And if anybody could reach for a star, it's got to be someone named Tommy Winters. And Tommy Winters and the Storms would also make a great name for a gang, a 1950s gang, a gang of greasers who were secretly warlocks, which is sort of what Fonzie was. Not even sort of. If you watch Happy Days, which I grew up watching that obsessively when my family got our first DVD player, I say that like we had multiple DVD players. Maybe we did, but when we got a DVD player, one of the first things I asked for Christmas was the first season of Happy Days on DVD. And Fonzie was a wizard, is a wizard, was or is a wizard, a wizard, stupid. But yeah, Tommy Wizard. No, but Fonzie very much was a wizard on that show. You know, you think about just him, he could tap a Coke machine and get free Coca-Cola. You hear that, Everly Brothers? Fonzie could get free Coca-Cola. Put that in your Coke commercial. But he could do that. He could, you know, he would get change. You know, he could use a public telephone without putting change in it. He could fix any car he wanted just by like closing the hood and touching it practically by elbowing it. He attracted any kind of girl at any time with no effort. Had a black book full of girls' phone numbers, and he wasn't a creep. He wasn't some weird pickup artist. He wasn't, you know, creeping around on girls. They just flocked to him because they could sense that magic. And I'm sure there are other stories. There've got to be other stories where there's like a supernatural 1950s greaser theme. Seems like that usually goes hand in hand with horror, with kind of pulpy horror. But I don't know if there's much that taps into actual magic aside from Fonzie. But Tommy Winters and the Storms, that's the sort of vibe that it brings me, along with just thoughts of winter itself, winter storms. Which we've had a lot of lately. We've had some really intense winter storms. Not snowstorms, but wind. And wind is fascinating. I was sitting there actually thinking about wind and how you only know it's there based on the way that other things are reacting to it. You can't see it. It has a sound. It does have a sound of its own. But you really only know it's there because other things are blowing around, other things are moving, other things are reacting to it. And there aren't very many things out there, except for magic itself, that you only see because other things are responding or reacting to it. So wind is sort of a unique element in that way. And so is Tommy Winters and the Storms here. You're not actually going to hear a song. You're just going to feel yourself reacting to it like wind. I reached for a star.
I reached for a star when I failed for you. I reached for a star like a fool would do. I reached for a star so high up above, dreaming of heaven when I dreamed of love. For a star so high in the blue, dreaming of that someday when you'd love me too. I reached for the star, yes, for the star. Ooh. I reached for the star. When the
reached for the star so high up above, dreaming of heaven when I dreamed of your love. I reached for the star when I thought it could be that someone like you could ever love me. I reached for the star so high in the blue, dreaming of that someday when you'd love me too. I reached for the star, oh yes, for the star. Ooh, I reached for a star.
Even if you don't grasp it, even if you don't grasp that star, get it in your hands, I feel like reaching for a star is a pretty bold move and says something about you. You're aspiring towards something. You're an ascendant person. You're ascending through life, not descending. But speaking of descending, I'm going to play an Eddie Nowak block. I feel like if I'm going to be talking about paganism, and this is a solstice episode, I need to play some country music. The true pagan music of America is country music, classic country. And Eddie Nowak is a favorite. So who better? Who better for this block? And this block is actually going to tell a little story of descent. And the first song is called The Fallout, quite literally descending, The Fallout. But it's about a romantic fallout. It's about heartbreak. And the second song is called Invisible Stripes, a prison song. And the third song is 6 Feet Down, pretty self-explanatory there. So the story that comes out of this is the fallout, heartbreak, prison, and death. And that's a lot of men's stories. There are a lot of men who that's the end. That's their story and that's it. Heartbreak, prison, death. I bet if you go to prison and did some interviews, you'd find a lot of men who say that some sort of heartbreak or romantic failure directly preceded whatever led them into prison. Not to say that the women are responsible, just to say that men's reactions to those circumstances often puts them in the worst of places. And, what comes after prison? Death. I mean, it comes after everything. And with that in mind, I think this song, 6 Feet Down, is a special one. I mean, all Eddie Nowak songs are pretty special, but 6 Feet Down is a little more stripped down. 6 Feet Down is stripped down. It sounds almost like a demo, and it is a great little death song. It's got some very catchy little lyrics. I feel like it's a pagan song of pagan songs. You know, it's not just coincidentally pagan. It actually feels like something that you could have heard centuries ago. Maybe worded slightly differently, but the actual point seems very ancient. And what's more ancient than death? So Eddie Nowak with a little block here. Fallout next.
We fall in and out of love so much, but that's not really true. You fall out of love with me, but I'm still to help me some, but that old fear grows deep inside me, that this time you've gone to stay, and the fallout keeps on hurting me long after you're away. You've come back and said you love me, life seemed filled with happiness, and I've deceived myself by thinking that your fickle heart would rest. But just when things are looking better, with no thought of being blue, I come home and find a letter. You're in love
a suit and a $20 bill when I left the penitentiary. And they swung open wide those big iron gates and said they had rehabilitated me. But society doesn't feel the same. I've lost my home and my wife, and they say I got no one but myself to blame, 'cause I wear these invisible stripes. A $20 bill won't buy me my fill of all the things I wanted all my life, and a brand new prison made three button suit won't hide these invisible stripes. No matter where I go, they say there ain't no dough, they don't want an ex-convict around. So I'm broke all the time, and they say that I'm a menace to the decent people in town. The $20 bill is in somebody's till, and the suit doesn't look brand new. It doesn't seem that fate is gonna let me go straight. These invisible stripes show through. I give my life for a home and a wife and a chance to show I can do right. But I'm hardly hard before they say I'm fired. They've seen these invisible stripes. I dream through the years of sweat and tears of how life on the outside would be. And that old prison yard didn't seem so hard when I think of the day I'd be free. I'm finally free, but nobody wants me, and I'm a-traveling the road, that's right. I tried to pay my debt, but they won't let me forget this suit of invisible stripes. A $20 bill won't buy me my fill of all the things I've wanted all my life, and a brand new prison made three button suit won't hide these invisible stripes.
6 feet down in the cold, cold ground. 6 feet down in the cold, cold ground. Did you ever notice the hands on the clock as they travel from hour to hour? They reach their destination together, but the big one requires more power. So if you find you can't keep up while your friend floats along like a feather, keep this in mind, that in the end you're gonna wind up together. 6 feet down in the cold, cold ground. Yeah, 6 feet down in the cold, cold ground. 6 feet down in the cold, cold ground, there's a place reserved for you. Don't make any difference if you're rich or poor, you're gonna wind up there too. 6 feet down in the cold, cold ground. I said 6 feet down in the cold, cold ground. So if your friends drive a brand new car and act so high and proud, there'll come a time you'll both be equal. There's no pockets in a shroud. 6 feet down in the cold, cold ground. I said 6 feet down in the cold, cold ground.
Yeah, some great lyrics there, great concepts, great ideas. I especially like that lyric about the clock hands. They reach their destination together, but the big one requires more power. If you find you can't keep up, but your friend floats along like a feather, keep this in mind, you're both going to wind up together. Almost a nursery rhyme. And that lyric too, there's no pockets in a shroud. Very evocative. A very good way of putting it. Good way of talking about death. But I'm not going to waste this Santa hat on death. I'm not going to waste the rest of this episode wearing this Santa hat just talking about death, because I could. Listening to a song like that could easily turn the rest of this episode into something morbid. Something morbid. I could just talk about death the whole rest of this episode and keep it morbid. But no, I'm not going to waste this Santa hat on that. I'm actually going to play a song about Santa, and it's from 1996 by a doo-wop group called the Crosstones. Another Tones. I haven't played a Tones in a while. All those old groups who used Tones in their group names. The Deltones. The Tone Tones. a lot of tones back in the day, but I believe the Crosstones were an older group who probably recruited younger people as time went on. If you've ever watched those PBS doo-wop shows, they'll do those doo-wop anniversary shows. They're usually fundraisers, and they'll get old doo-wop groups who had hits. Anthony and the Imperials, the surviving members of the Teenagers, things like that. They'll get them together and they'll do their classic songs. And every time I see one of those on TV, I think, I don't need to watch this. I don't, you know, I know these songs. I don't need to see them doing these songs as old men with like younger people they've recruited to serve as backing singers or whatever. And then I end up watching a second and I'm just sucked in emotionally through the whole rest of the fundraiser. And I always seem to end up watching them when there's only like two or three songs left, two or three performances left. And I never donate money. I never donate money to PBS because of these doo-wop fundraisers, but I should. If I had money to spare, I would. I should and I would. I would. I should if I would, whatever that means. But this is a 1996 song by the Crosstones, and it's actually taken from a home VHS recording of the Crosstones performing in what appears to be a senior center. It's a bunch of gray heads sitting in what looks to be fold-out chairs. Maybe they're in a church or something, I don't know, but it's lots of older people watching the Crosstones who have younger members. So I'm not positive. I believe they were an old group who probably just recruited younger singers as time went on. But this song is called Oh, Don't You Love Santa. It's hokey. It's great. I don't need to call it hokey. It's actually there's a sincerity to it, you know, that can't be described. When you're performing a song like this in front of a bunch of old people, there's a sincerity that, you know, shouldn't be described. You got to keep some things sacred. Although the song is goofy. I mean, one of the lyrics is, he is the coolest guy I know, referring to Santa, obviously. And then there's a lyric too, every Christmas when I trim the tree, I think of you, Santa baby. And it's a woman singing, a relatively young woman. In the video, she looks to be in her early 30s, maybe even 20s. It's hard to really place her, given the era. She's in a little vest. When you were in school, if you remember the little vests that the school band would wear, it's one of those. It's glittery. She's got a little bow tie or something like that on and a white button-up shirt. It's very 1996. But she says, every Christmas when I trim the tree, I think of you, Santa baby. And her eyes kind of raise. And that, you know, I have to say, that's kind of suggestive. Every Christmas when I trim the tree, what are you really trimming, baby, you know? Thinking of Santa and trimming the tree, you know, maybe you're trimming something else, I don't know. Maybe other people have different rituals. Some people put out cookies for Santa, cookies and milk, a carrot for Rudolph, and other people trim the quote-unquote tree. But the Crosstones can do as they please, especially in 1996. Oh, Don't You Love Santa. There's no other way to kick off Christmas other than this song for me. I listen to this song every year this time of year, going back probably the last 4 or 5 years. As Christmas approaches, I'm like, fuck, I got to listen to that Crosstones song. I got to get in the mood. I got to trim the tree and think of Santa baby. Which I guess is me right now, because I'm wearing the Santa hat, and I always think about myself, so what else is new? Santa thinking about Santa, thinking about Santa.
Santa is coming, Christmas time is here again. Oh, don't you love Christmas?
Just the coolest
to each Christmas Eve is on the go.
He's flying, oh, no lying.
Rudolph guides him through the snow. Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, don't you love, love Santa? He is the coolest guy I know.
He's the coolest, oh, just the coolest.
It's Christmas Eve, he's on the go.
He's flying. Oh, Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Run Rudolph, run Rudolph, it's Christmas time again. Here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Run Rudolph, it's Christmas time again.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. But yeah, that was great. Nice to hear someone really give Santa the credit that he is due. He gets talked about a lot, but I don't often feel like he really gets the credit he deserves. Even though he and apparently Rudolph left that lady something. I didn't know that Rudolph leaves anything. But I'm more of a goat person than a reindeer person. In fact, I'm a goat myself. And that's the other thing that's happening now is starting tomorrow, it's Capricorn season. If you pay any attention to astrology at all, you know that the time of the Capricorn is upon us. And I'm a Capricorn myself. And in 6 days, I will be 33. So my birthday is right in the mix in all of this. And it's a big time of year for anybody when you think about it. Because it's like winter starts, then there's Christmas, then there's the New Year. And those are three major events. Because even if you don't celebrate Christmas, even if you have some other religion or you just decide not to celebrate Christmas for whatever reason, you fight in the war on Christmas, you know, even if that's you, Christmas is still so dominant that you can't help but be affected by it. And for me, you throw my birthday into the mix. And so pretty much everything big in my life happens in this week-long period. Winter, Christmas, birthday, New Year. And then, as I mentioned last episode, it's also the 5-year anniversary of doing this show. I think December 11th was actually technically the 5-year anniversary of doing Every Night's a School Night. So pretty much everything that's important to me happens in this month-long period. And so I don't need to do anything else the rest of the year. I can just hibernate the rest of the year, wake up during December and celebrate these events, and then hibernate again. But since it is the time of the goat, since it is my time, the Capricorn season, I'm going to play a song about being a Capricorn. And this fits in with the last song. That last one was from 1996. I'm not sure when this one is from, but this guy, Harvey Sid Fisher, definitely a character. He did these songs about every astrological sign, and they're amazingly accurate. I think they're from the 90s. They kind of have an 80s or 90s feel, but I'm almost positive they're from the 90s. And he had little videos that go along with them. He was a gray-haired guy, a skinny gray-haired guy, and he wore a tuxedo and sang these songs. And I take it very seriously, in the same way that I take novelty records, so-called novelty records, very seriously. I take this seriously because it's so damn accurate. Somebody sent me this once, and I was like, oh, it's an astrology song. I'll listen to it for a laugh. And I was fucking taken by it. I was amazed at how well he describes me. Because, you know, I will rebel against any description of me. I will fight any attempt to describe me, even if it's accurate or semi-accurate. I will fight it because I don't want to be put into a box. But yet, this guy's description of just the average Capricorn is so accurate. I relate to every aspect of this. Even the whole tortoise and the hare thing he talks about. I used to use the phrase, I always get there. I actually took it from a mob boss. There was this mob boss, Nicky Scarfo, who used to say to people, give me time, I always get there. And he was referring to the tortoise, and he used to refer to the tortoise in the hare story. And I've always related to that. Slow and steady wins the race. It's just my normal habit. Something like the turtle beat the lazy rabbit. That's Harvey Sid Fisher's take on that. Yeah, so this is just an eerily accurate description of me set to music. And I recommend looking up any of his songs about any astrological sign. You know, I'm not exactly an expert on how other people feel about themselves or their own astrological signs, but I recommend giving it a chance, even just for entertainment. While for me, this is certainly not entertainment. This is a weird mirror upon my soul. Capricorn, the goat, the sea goat, climbing to the highest highs and diving to the lowest lows. And I used to really enjoy that description because it sort of justified a lot of my behavior. You know, climbing to the highest highs, obviously, you know, there's that pride, that Capricornian pride. I like to, you know, struggle to the top of the mountain and stand up there proud. But I've always enjoyed diving down, too, diving into the miserable depths, especially back in my hard drinking days. I really loved going to those depths, finding an excuse, a justification, not a self-pitying excuse, just a balls-to-the-wall chance to just dive into the darkness. And what I've learned, though, is you can swim down there. It just goes hand in hand with the whole positive nihilism philosophy I've adopted, where, you know, if you're going to be a nihilist, that doesn't mean you have to destroy yourself. You can learn to swim while you dive to the bottom depths, and you'll find that you get amazingly strong by learning to swim down there. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning to swim down there, but I do feel like I'm swimming, whereas I used to just try to sink. So here we are, Capricorn season. Let's get a little self-indulgent, because that's what I'm doing. Merry Christmas.
I believe in law and order, or the world would be a mess. On a diet, I'm the one who would be cheating, eating less. I may be shy, I'm also tough, I'm not easy to know. Like most of all the iceberg, I stay hidden down below. I was born a Capricorn, I was born a Capricorn. I was born a Capra, I was born a Capra, I was born a Capricorn. I was born a Capra, I was born a Capra, I was born a Capricorn. Slow and steady, working hard is just my normal habit. That's how the turtle won the race and beat the lazy rabbit. I like my life on schedule, a precision machine. I'll make love by the numbers, I don't get bored by routine. I was born a Capricorn, I was born a Capricorn. I was born a Capra, I was born a Capra, I was born a Capricorn. I was born a Capra, I was born a Capra, I was born a Capricorn. The goat, the goat, the goat. The goat, the goat will climb all of the time. From peak to peak, the highest heap, I leap and leap, no time for sleep. From crag to crag, I zig and zag. From rock to rock, I skip and hop. Right to the top, I never stop. I was born a Capricorn, I was born a Capricorn. I was born a Capra, I was born a Capra, I was born a Capricorn. I was born a Capra, I was born a Capra, I was born Capricorn.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me, this brave, this golden land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand
this land with me and walk this lovely land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be strong. The help of God, I know I can be strong to make this land our home. If I must fight a fight to make this land our own, until